FAO's monthly food price index has just been released for August. The index is a measure of the monthly change in international prices for major food commodities. Here to explain more about what we are seeing in this index is FAO economist Peter Tournis. Mr. Tournis, thank you for joining me. What are the major trends we're seeing in this month's food price index?
This month we have seen a drop compared to July, 3.6%, which is considerable. But even more important is the comparison in historical terms. We are having actually a four-year low. The food price index hasn't been as low since September 2010. The index is composed of sub-indices, cereals, dairy, oils, sugar, and meat sectors. And actually four out of those five have seen a downward move. Only meat is the exception. It has gone slightly upward.
Generally speaking, what can we attribute to these changes?
Certainly, the overarching driving factor here has been improved production outlook, in particular for cereals, but also for the other commodity sectors. And that has been possible due to almost ideal weather conditions in key growing regions for the main crops.
And you mentioned cereals briefly. In fact, FAO's monthly cereal supply and demand brief was also released today, and it has upgraded the 2014 cereal production forecast by 14 million tons. What is that increase attributed to?
As I said, in general, but in particular for cereals, and this means wheat and coarse grains, the weather conditions have been ideal for growing the wheat and the coarse grain crops. And so we have revised upward our estimates for a couple of countries. In the case of wheat, it is China, Russia, Ukraine, United States. And for coarse grains as well, there have been upward revisions in our estimates for the European Union and the United States.
You mentioned this briefly, but how does this affect prices, markets, and trade?
If we have such a clear indication based on the current estimates that the global production outlook is improving so much, this has direct repercussions on the inventories countries can keep. And stocks in individual countries and with it stock-to-use ratios, the higher that ratio is, the more confidence the trade normally has that any consumption requirements can be covered by the existing stock. And so these changes in both inventories and stock-to-use ratios, both of them going higher due to the production improved production outlook, have certainly helped pushing the wheat and the coarse grain prices downward.
Back to the food price index, what commodities didn't follow the overall trend this month?
Actually, only one sub-index did not follow the trend. All the others did, especially vegetable oils, sugar, and dairy did, together with cereals. The only one which did not is meat. The meat sub-index actually raised slightly and is 14% up compared to the same months of last year. And this reflects in particular developments in the bovine meat market, and namely the situation in Australia, where we have seen reduced export supplies recently, and this is due to herd rebuilding in that country. And this has happened along with continued strong import demand in Asia, especially China. So this is keeping meat prices high, actually raising them a bit further compared to last month.
Are there any developments that your team is monitoring that could affect the outlook in coming months?
There certainly are. The prime one, as usual, is weather developments. We are now moving into planting in the southern hemisphere. Many of the arable crops will be planted from next month onward. The southern hemisphere carries a great weight in the global production outlook. So we have to see how that weather develops and accordingly how the production and then stocks, etc., develop in the southern hemisphere. Related to that, you may wonder what the picture is regarding El Niño weather events. There is convergence among experts at this point in time. I would say that, yes, we will have an El Niño weather event occurring towards the end of this year and beginning of next year. However, that event should be less strong than earlier anticipated. So the impact, either positive or negative, due to either above or below average rainfall, which is associated with El Niño, will not be that strong, most likely. This is the current prospect. As usual, we'll always monitor policy interventions which can not be anticipated. And we have seen a few recently, namely in the Black Sea region due to the political tensions there. And there could be others coming from there, trade restrictions or direct impacts on production and consumption in those countries. And another area is certainly biofuel policies, which are also attracting attention because you have mandates for biofuel consumption in several countries, but the implementation of those mandatory policies often sees delays, and therefore this can have impact on production of biofuels in various countries. And this production of biofuels directly translates into demand for several of the basic food crops.